Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is the New York Times bestselling author Jeffrey Deaver, and he is out with a brand new Coulter Shaw novel. This one is called The Final Twist, and it's available now wherever you buy your books. And Jeff also had a big honor that we're going to be talking about a little bit later in the program. But Jeff, I always get nervous when I see books that say final anything in them, because I always hope that they're not the last one in the series. But this Coulter Shaw...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, this Coulter Shaw character, he's been an entertaining guy over the course of the last few years that we've been, that I've been reading this series. So how much of this Coulter Shaw has developed in your mind that you've just been waiting to get out into books? Because he's a complicated character, but nonetheless, it's really kind of proven itself to be a very complex character.
Well, Brian, thank you for that comment about Coulter. I'm kind of enamored of this character I've created, and in fact, even as we are speaking now, I have on my computer in front of me the latest Coulter Shaw book, the one that I'm working on that will be published in 2022, and I have an outline for Coulter Shaw that will be published in, oh my gosh, it's hard to think that ahead, that far ahead, 24, if I have that correctly. Yes, 2024. So there's nothing final about the final twist. In fact, there is a twist, and it is a final twist, but it has nothing to do with the, certainly not the demise of Coulter Shaw, nor the end of his tales. He's got a lot of life left in him. And but what I have to say, if I may just kind of set the stage for your listeners, Coulter has a unique career. He is someone who travels around the country and looks for rewards that have been offered, maybe by parents for a missing child, but also for escaped convicts from prison authorities and suspects whom the police simply cannot track down. And he rides around in his Winnebago. He's sort of a modern-day gunslinger, thinking back to the movie like Shane from my era, the 1950s. Gunslinger comes to town. He saves the day and then rides off into the sunset for another adventure on the next Saturday matinee at your local movie theater.
That's a fantastic jumping off point for the book, because, or for the series, because the reward seekers, they're not exactly the type of people that you really think about in life, but they're an important part because they have a lot of tools available to them that law enforcement don't, right?
I did not even know much about the reward phenomenon. Of course, we see if a person has gone missing, there's a TV story about it. Police are offering X thousands of dollars to find this individual. But I did some research into it and learned that there are rewards of up to $20 million offered by the State Department for the whereabouts of terrorists. Usually they're over in the Middle East somewhere, or maybe South Asia. But now these are not the sorts of things that private individuals are encouraged to go after. The government does not want mercenaries after them. But within the United States and other countries, there are civil rewards offered, as I mentioned, parents for their children, police authorities who simply can't find an individual. So I did some research into it, and I thought, well, you know, what a wonderful idea for an itinerant character who travels around the country, allows me to travel around the country, which I was doing before the pandemic struck, of course, and research a local area and have Coulter get involved in maybe local politics, local shenanigans, and then it gives me the opportunity to craft what is a typical Deaver book, and that takes place over a short period of time, maybe 24 to 48 hours. There are lots of internal reversals and, if I may, twists, yes, and then... has some very surprise endings to it, and it also gives me the opportunity to look at what I would call like an esoteric topic of some kind. In The Never Game, that was the first in the Coulter Shaw series, which, by the way, is going to be a TV series from Disney, starring Justin Hartley. I'm very pleased to hear that they were interested enough to purchase the book. Then The Goodbye Man. That has esoteric information in it. Goodbye Man about cults, The Never Game about video gaming and shenanigans in Silicon Valley. And The Final Twist has a lot of esoteric information, too. Actually, some cataclysmic discoveries in the book that I can't tell you about because it would give away the final twist.
Well, and Coulter's got a lot of, there's been a lot of family issues with him that have been in the background, and it's really brought to the forefront in this book. His relationship with his father, a survivalist who really shunned modern technology, but Coulter's living in a world where modern technology is really the rule of the game, and he has to deal with certain things. And in this book, in particular, I'm thinking about the IEDs, because I learned a little bit about IEDs in this book that I'm sure your research was thousands of pages long for a few hundred words about it in the book. But when Coulter is putting himself in that position now, trying to emulate his father and his father's techniques in modern times, how does that create a conflict for him?
Oh, well, that's a very good point, Brian, because I'll step back just a little bit. I heard something on, I think it was a radio show some years ago, not that many years ago, that the part of our brain that responds to our real-life friends, family, those people we admire, we love, and those we dislike too, the bad boss, the fellow who cuts us off on the highway, the part of our brain that creates an emotional connection with those incidents and those people, it's exactly the same part of the brain that creates an emotional connection with fictional characters. So I decided in creating the Coulter Shaw books, while I am always a plot-driven author that will never change, lots of twists and turns and plots and subplots, I pay much more attention now to crafting a rich backstory of my characters so that readers will fall in love with Coulter Shaw. They will simply love him and the other characters who populate the book. That would be Coulter's father, who's no longer with us. That's not a surprise. We know that right up front. But his mother, Mary Dove, a fascinating character, academic turned mountain woman, you might say. And so the series, the three books in the series, Never Game, Goodbye Man, and Final Twist, are populated with these characters that we just want to spend time with. So that was a very conscious decision for me. And one can't simply write about characters. One needs characters in conflict, of course. So he has, Coulter has quite a relationship with his missing brother, a fellow who went missing some years ago, and no one in the family quite knows why. And those that conflict, well, may or may not be resolved in the final twist. You'll notice I'm hedging a little bit there because, so as you know, so much of my writing depends on the surprises and so forth. But I appreciate your noticing that we have a character that is very complex and could be like somebody we know. And frankly, if I knew somebody who had gone missing, I'd post a reward. Frankly, I'd probably give Coulter a phone call myself and say, I don't care what it costs, go find this person, because he has the resources, both modern-day resources, as you point out, and then the traditional survivalist skills to track down people. And he brings a passion to it that, frankly, the police often do not have, because in all fairness, they're so overwhelmed by crime, by conflict, by politics, too. But Coulter focuses on finding the person, bringing the bad guy in, finding that missing child, finding the missing grandparent who's wandered off.
I'm chatting with Jeffrey Deaver about his brand-new Coulter Shaw novel, The Final Twist. Jeffrey, one of the things that Coulter brings out is these never rules that he learned from his father. Never do this, never do that. And in literature, I don't remember, and they're really asides in the book, but they do keep the story flowing. I don't remember an author doing this as well. All the way back to John Irving with The World According to Garp, he had something kind of similar like that, but still, it's asides within the book that explain something. When you put these never rules in there and they really make them flow, is that a difficult thing for you to do? Because it seems like sometimes the advice is psychosomatic. You know it's there, but to actually put it into words is a totally different thing.
Sure. Ashton Shaw, Coulter's father, was quite a fascinating character. He was a distinguished academic at Cal, that's at University of California at Berkeley, and then he made a discovery that actually is a bit of a mystery until we get to the final twist, again, the third book in the series, and his father discovered something. I'm not going to mention what it is over the air, because that's part of the big one of the big surprises in the book, but he realizes that people know he's made this discovery, and he flees from from Berkeley, you know, idyllic, wonderful town on the bay in San Francisco area, to the Sierra Nevada mountains. And he basically moves onto a compound and teaches himself and his children, wife and children, survivalist skills. Now, survivalists, they can be a little strange. I mean, they're, you know, to be honest, racist survivalists, crazy survivalists who believe that aliens from the planet Xantar, I'm making that up, but they're on their way to Earth, so we need to stay off the grid. And then there are people who simply are concerned about modern society with some justification for that. But Ashton Shaw was, although he was given to bits of paranoia, the rule, of course, is that it's not paranoia if they really are after you. And these people really were after Ashton, so he made sure to teach his children how they could protect themselves and not let the enemy in, this kind of unknown enemy that's out there that becomes clearer and clearer as we move through the three books in the series. And one of the things he did was to the children, enforce within their minds the concept of never rules. And he would say things like, never be without orientation as to where you are. Never enter a situation without an escape route. Never, in a potential conflict, be without access to a weapon. And some were more benign than that, like never trot out on a frozen lake until you've sounded the depth of the ice, things that make sense. I just got the idea. I don't know where it came from. And to be honest with you, I read The World According to Garp years ago and loved it. John Irving's such a talented writer. Maybe that's where it came from. Who knows? But anyway, it's added to, I would say, an endearing quality about both Ashton and Coulter, because Coulter now follows the same rules. And to be honest with you, you know, we authors like to have a bit of fun with what we do. So when I approach a new Coulter Shaw book, I have a standard list of the never rules, but I always come up with some new ones, and it's always quite fun to do it. And at one point when they're young, his brother asks Coulter, I wonder why Dad never said, always do this. And Coulter says to him, well, I asked him about that once, and the answer is, when you say never, it gets your attention much better.
You were recently honored with the highest honor bestowed on writers by the Mystery Writers Association of America with the Grandmaster Award. I mean, you joined the ranks of some big names, Mickey Spillane, Donald Westlake, Lawrence Block, people that I've read for years, Max Allen Collins in the more modern times, Stephen King. Those type of awards, you get those, and what do they mean to you? Because your success is really your writing, your books, and the life that you've lived. But to be recognized by that, what does that mean to you?
It means everything to me, Brian. I have to tell you. I have been doing this for a long time now. I think the Final Twist is probably my 45th novel. I've been writing at least a book a year. I think I've done 80 short stories. And my goal has always been to write for my readers, to give readers something that they will enjoy, that they'll smile through, because I have humor in my books. They're thrillers, of course. There's gunplay, and people don't always survive the end of my books. But basically, at the end of the day, I don't kill off my main characters. I put in puzzles a la Agatha Christie, also actually the first Grandmaster. And I make sure that readers have a good time. It's like a roller coaster. It's terrifying while you're experiencing the book, but you know you're going to get off safe and sound at the end. So to be honored with this, this acclaimed recognition kind of validates, kind of validates my my approach to writing. That it's not about me; it's about the readers and my working every day, even after all these years, to get a quality book, an enjoyable book or short story, into the hands of those readers. So I was truly thrilled to be to get the call from MWA.
You know, I watched an interview of Mickey Spillane years ago, and he made the comment, he says, I don't have readers, I have customers, and people buy his books. People buy your books. It seems like you've really embraced that whole idea of the business side of this, because you're writing what people want and they want what they want to buy.
Brian, I'll tell you, I just wrote that down, because I use one quote from Mickey Spillane, which I absolutely love. people don't read books to get to the middle. They read books to get to the end, meaning, of course, it's our obligation to move the story from beginning to end in a very compelling way. But, oh, yes, in fact, I do a I teach courses in writing, and my first rule is this is a business. You're a consumer products company, and we're very proud of our product. It's a creative product, but it's a product nonetheless. And so I make sure that I craft my books for the readers. And I wake up every morning, in fact, as I did this morning, knowing I was looking forward to speaking with you and other folks on the radio tour, but I jotted notes about the new book I'm working on right now, because that's what this is all about, and make sure that the consumer gets the product they enjoy.
Wow, this was a product that I truly enjoyed, this book, The Final Twist. That's the latest Coulter Shaw novel from Jeffrey Deaver, the latest Grand Master for the Mystery Writers Association of America. Jeffrey, just another fantastic offering. I always look forward to it every year, and thanks for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you. Let's talk again next year.
All right.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. And do.